Good morning. I do love that children's feature, don't you? Oh, yes. And that fan gives a little wave, doesn't it, as the wind comes. And that's what we pray for, that the wind of God would blow in our hearts in strength and in power. I want this morning to speak for a few moments to you about prayer, and our text is from James chapter 5 and verses 13 through 20, and that's on page 856 in the Pew Bible, 856 in the Pew Bible. And so let's stand together to honor the Word of God as we read from His Word from James chapter 5. And beginning at verse 13 down through the end of the chapter, it says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We are blessed and privileged to be able to open it together this morning. We pray that your Spirit would indeed speak to our hearts and strengthen us through this time. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And almost 2 months ago now, a month and a half ago, Roberta and I got to go to the Alliance Workers Retreat over in Manitoba for a few days. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about during those days, there were a lot of people who were refreshed in many ways through the time and the ministry that happened there. But one of the things that the Lord did in my own life, one of the evenings we had a dramatic presentation based on the life of Rhys Howell, who is often called the Intercessor. That was a book that was written about him and his life. And during that time, as I sat and watched Paul Enns, his brother Carl, doing a monologue of Rhys Howell's, it was as though the Spirit of God was speaking into my heart and renewing a call to intercessory prayer, renewing a call to pray. And I find it's not uncommon for me to be in tears, but it was such a tender touch from God that as I was coming out of there, some of my colleagues were looking at me and saying, "Are you all right?" And because there was still some tears coming down. It's a wonderful thing, you know, that God has given to us this gift of prayer. And this morning I want to think about this text, and especially the latter part of verse 16, where it says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And I want you to attach those three words together: prayer, power, and effectiveness. So as we think about prayer together, here's a quote from John Wesley. It says this: "All of God's works are done through believing prayer." There's a man who established so many churches, preached the gospel, saw so many wonderful things happen. You see, prayer and power and effectiveness all come together in that kind of time and ministry. As we think about prayer, sometimes we get kind of the thought that, well, yeah, there needs to be prayer. But as I researched this text and looked at it, I noticed that, I think it was maybe Warren Wiersbe in his commentary said that in the Greek, it said that when he prayed, he was praying. That is to say, he was actually not just using words, but touching the heart of God from his heart and from his need and his brokenness before him. So as we think about prayer, I may get Irish on you, and so I'm warning you ahead of time. If it happens, well, St. Patrick's Day's passed, so we can't do a jig about that, but we can certainly be amazed at this thing called prayer. I received an email a couple of days ago from a friend who is teaching Bible school in New Zealand at the moment, at Cape and Ray School in New Zealand, and this is what he said. He's been with the students 12 to 18 hours a week and teaching, and he said this: "It was so great to share with them the depth of the possibility of meeting with God every day, the reality of living a Christian life which demands a supernatural explanation, the concept that God is the initiator of prayer, and that the secret of learning to pray is not just receiving answers to prayer, but to really get to know God. How can we have any concept of what God is able to do through prayer unless we know who He is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we even try to understand how He works if we do not understand what He says in His Word about developing intimacy with Him?" And that is such a true statement, isn't it? Real prayer is not just words, but it comes out of developing intimacy with Him. And so when we think about praying like Elijah, let's just think and dwell on this a little bit for a few moments today. If I were to ask you if there is something that you could do for God, would you do it? That's an interesting question for a preacher to ask, isn't it? You see, we would say, well, I think I would. I'd try. And that we're accustomed to hearing, because it is true, that there is nothing that we can do that saves us. But sometimes we forget that there are things that we need to do in our life and walk for God and for His glory and for His kingdom and for His church. So I'm going to come back to that question at the end of our time this morning. If there was something that you could do for God, would you do it? How many this morning would say, "I'm concerned about where my world is going. I'm concerned about where things are going nationally. I'm concerned about things within my family. I'm concerned just about the whole sense of life and lifestyle and where things seem to be leading." Would many of us say that this morning? Yeah, I see those heads nodding. That's right, we would say that. And I want to say to you that God has given to us this gift of prayer. But you know, out of all of the investments of time and so on that we can make, we so often put that one on the side. And I want to call us this morning to a fresh commitment to this thing of prayer. When we think about this text and read about Elijah, we would say, we all want to see the power of God. How many of you would love to see such a sweeping revival that on your way to church on Sunday morning, you would see people falling on their knees on the sidewalk, crying out to God and saying, "Oh God, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved." Would you love to see that? It was weak, but okay. Yes, we would love to see the power of God. Of course we would. And we think about some of the Bible heroes that we read of here in His Word. And we think, for instance, of how God used these people in days gone by. We think, as we read through the Acts of the Apostles, and you read of Peter, and they actually brought folks out and laid them on the ground so that his shadow would fall upon them going by, and they would know the power of God that touched them and healed them. My word! I'll tell you what, if we were to see something like that today, it would be difficult for us to say, I might be inclined instead to say, "Wow! Praise God, look at that." It might turn a few heads. I think it would. And you know, as we read in His Word of Paul, and he'd get beat up, and he'd rise up and go to the next town, and he would say, "Oh, let me tell you about Jesus." And I'm sure people must have wondered, where did he get all those bruises and stuff? But he was steadfast because of the power of God. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Oh, I think about our modern missions, and we rejoice in the reports. These 40 men who are coming to a Bible study, my heart soared as Pastor shared about that in the prayer this morning. But oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to see millions turn to Him? Yeah. And when you think, one of my personal favorites in Scripture is Daniel. And you look at these people through the Scriptures and you see the power of God. Here is a man who's not only good at interpreting dreams, but who's delivered from the lions when God sort of reverses that order, and the lions just were tame around him instead of chewing on him. That's power, isn't it? The wonderful power of God. We all want to see the power of God. And we hold all of these folk in awe because of the things that God did and the power of God demonstrated through their lives. And we see, oh man, that was something special, something powerful, something wonderful. And we elevate them sometimes. I wish it could be like Daniel. Wish I knew how to pray like Peter. Incidentally, if you check out Acts chapter 12, you'll see that Peter was about to die in prison. And it wasn't Peter's prayers. It was the prayers of the church all together that set him free gloriously and powerfully. You see, we can look at them as though they are superheroes, and we often disqualify ourselves in the process. I'm a fellow who grew up kind of in the back streets in Northern Ireland, and I don't have any great history to declare. And it's easy to say, I can't do that. And this is what God was doing in renewing that call to prayer. He was reminding me, it's not, John, about what you can do. It's about what He can do as we surrender ourselves to Him and obey Him. You see, in truth, we have some examples of this in Scripture too, don't we? Moses said, I'm not eloquent. I can't talk. Well, guess what? I can't either. But you see, it's not about what we can do. It's about this powerful God and what He will do in and through us. And then there's Jeremiah who says, I'm too young. I don't have to say that anymore. And God is saying to him, it's not about your age. It's not about your abilities, he's saying to Moses. It's about His power. And you know, we might say, well, I just can't do it. You know, I get hungry. I get tired. I get angry. There's a lot of Irish people in the world. I get discouraged. I get scared. But friends, all those things may be true, but it doesn't diminish the power of God, not one little bit. I was asked to preach when I was doing a series of meetings down in New Brunswick. They asked if I would go to the prison, the maximum security prison, Renous, and I went there and spoke in three chapel services, and they would bring the inmates into the chapel, and they were only allowed to come in a certain size group. I don't remember, maybe 18 or 20 people. And so we did three services just back to back in there. And as there was a little break when the prisoners were going out and others were coming in, the chaplain said to me, now, the next bunch has a fella in it, and he's going to talk all the way through your service, because that's just what he does. Now, I said, okay. And you see, the chaplain had come to terms with saying, this is just the way it is. I'm going to accept it just the way it is. And I sat there and said, Lord, just in my heart, if He's going to talk all the way through this service, none of these other men will come to Christ, because it'll just be confusion of two voices. And Lord, Your voice is stronger than the voice of the devil. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, would You please just silence it? You know, there wasn't a single comment in the service. And the chaplain looked at me afterwards and said, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything. I asked God to do what only He can do. There were six people saved in that service that day, because the only voice that they could hear was the voice of the Spirit of God. Oh, my friends, this power, we long to see it, and we can, and we should, and we must. A young man some years ago, working for a Christian organization, said to me, I've never led a soul to Jesus. And I said, would you like to? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, why don't you ask the Lord to bring somebody to you this next week, 7 days, and say, Lord, if You be faithful to bring them, I'll be faithful to share. And this is what he told me. I waited till the last day of the 7 days, and I said, Lord, I know that this is not my deal. I know You don't really want to use me in this way. So, Lord, just if You want to do something today, that's fine. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, I had my lunch on a park bench, and a man came and sat down beside me and said, I'm so troubled, I need somebody to talk to. I mean, really? You see, we want to see His power. We want to experience Him at work. And friends, He is willing. He is not the problem. The problem is me and us. What kind of person does God use? Well, He used Elijah, and he's one of our heroes. He's a praying person, and he's the guy in 1 Kings 18 who calls down fire from heaven, and the sacrifice is consumed, and the prophets of Baal are dealt with, and so on. He challenged that which was wrong in his country and society and culture, and he hit it head on and said to people who were dithering, "Who is God?" Do you ever hear that in our Canadian context? Sometimes people say to me, "I'm glad that works for you." And I smile and say, "It would work for you too." My Bible says there is only one God, and we know Him in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. As we think upon this man, Elijah, oh, yes, he stood before the Lord. He prayed that the rain would stop for 3.5 years. It stopped. And he prayed that it would rain again. And it rained again. You say, well, that's neat. That happened way back then. I don't know how many hundred years ago. But those kind of things, they don't really happen anymore. Oh, no? Well, I've got a Pentecostal friend, a pastor, who took a tour to Israel, and at Bethlehem it was raining, and he said, "Lord, would you just stick your finger in the clouds so that it would stop raining for 20 minutes and we could have 20 minutes here just to worship you?" And the rain stopped. Now, isn't that amazing? That is His power. And it is according to the ask, so comes the answer. When we ask in faith, believing, we need to expect that He will do some wonderful things. You know, I want to pick on somebody. Jerry and Johanna here have been in the congregation with me before, and so it won't be strange to them, but if you're wondering who's he going to pick on, just be nervous for a minute or two while I talk about it, okay? There's no point in me being nervous at the front if you're just sitting there saying, well, he's got another 10 minutes or whatever, okay? So here's a man, Jerry. And at Glencairn Alliance Church, when I was pastoring one Sunday, he was the elder ministering the prayer time, and he came to pray for children. And he said, "Oh, there are no children here." Well, if we have no children, we'd better pray for children. Do you remember doing that? He doesn't even remember doing it, but he did it. He did it. And I want to tell you the other side of that story, okay? He said, "Dear Lord, we don't have any children in church at the moment. Would you bring children to us as a congregation?" So Pastor Bruce, when he took over and I retired, the first staff change that he made was to hire a children's pastor. Sure fault. If you hadn't prayed like that, they wouldn't have all those kids. You see, the kind of man, the kind of person that God uses is just a person like you and me. Elijah got discouraged, he got hungry, he got tired, he got upset, he got scared. If you read 1 Kings 19, you'll see he even got depressed. But he was a man used mightily by God because he was surrendered to the Father. Our friends, I must hasten along a little bit. We said that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so let's look at how did God use Elijah? In other words, a better way to say that would have been, how did God teach Elijah to pray? Because if we're going to pray like Elijah, we want to know, how did he pray? So quickly, let me just walk through a couple of thoughts here that come from His Word. Turn with me to Deuteronomy And chapter 11 and verse 16 and 17. Deuteronomy chapter 11, 16 and 17. And as you're turning there, let me just say, Elijah prayed the word of God. He prayed the word of God. Here it is. Let me read those verses. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving to you. He prayed the word of God. He knew that God's word said, if you turn away to other gods, I'll just take away the rain. So as he prayed, he was praying God's word back to him. And you'll find many times and instances in church history and in the heroes of the faith that as they begin to pray God's word, there is a dynamic in this that switches and draws out the power of God after it. We read the story of George Mueller of Bristol, fed many, many children in orphanages and had no resources but God's resources. But did you know that because he always said you have to pray God's word back to him? There was a young man called James McQuilkin in Northern Ireland where I grew up. And he had recently been saved, read of Mueller and how God demonstrated his power through prayer. And he began to pray, Lord, would you send us revival? Would you start with just one man? Give me one friend who would pray with me for revival. And the Lord gave him a friend. And then they prayed, Lord, would you give us two more? And the Lord gave them two more. And so it went. And in the course of 2 years, there came this great revival in the area. Now, if I were to ask you, what is Northern Ireland famous for? There's the Protestants and the Catholics and the Loyalists and the Republicans and the guns and the bombs and all the stuff that I used to be involved with. Do you know, I was amazed. I looked back through the history of Northern Ireland, and in 1861, there were no riots, no fights. Nobody was killed in religious persecution. Do you know why? Because in 1861, the revival was at its height, and the people were praying, and the love of God was abounding everywhere. He prayed faith-believing prayer. He prayed the will of God. In 1 Kings 17:1, and for time's sake, I'll just quote it, he says to Ahab, I stand in the presence of God. He not only prayed the word of God, he prayed for and the will of God. You see, Elijah first got that in the presence of God and then stepped out in his power. He came to that king with the presence of the King of Kings on his life. And there was no fear. He wasn't going to be intimidated by all of the armies of all of the nations, let alone just Israel's. And you'll notice that after he declares, there'll be no rain until I say so, it says that God hid him. Lonely by a brook, but God hid him. In the presence of the Master, praying the Word of God and the will of God, because you see, he was in the way of God. A righteous man, not right in his own eyes, not self-satisfied, self-centered, but full of the Spirit of God and living and walking in that power and in that authority. And oh God, would you grant us men and women who in this day would live in that strength and that power, who would not be intimidated by the culture in which we live, nor the sin that abounds in it, but who would love the Lord with all their hearts and minds and souls. I did say I would get Irish. Oh, how we need to be a people of prayer. He prayed in difficult times. Yes. And he prayed persistently. Is there any cloud? No. Go back and look again. Is there any cloud? No. Go back and look again. And still today, people ask me from time to time, how long should I pray for something? And I just say, until the Lord breaks through. Until He breaks through. Ah. Oh, he prayed that something would close and he prayed that something would open. And may we be a people that pray that the door would close on things that are unholy and unrighteous, and that the door would open for an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us, afresh and anew. You know, the last thing I want to just touch on is that God wants to use you. Yeah. Are you available? Availability is far more the issue than our abilities. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. Present ourselves to Him. Give God a chance in your life. Make yourself available to Him. Let me tell you a story, and we're very close to the Irish preacher bringing a close. On my very first trip to South Africa, I was asked to go and preach in a church in a place called Potchefstroom. It's a university town. And that Sunday morning, when the pastor of the church, Elgro Community Church, came to pick me up where I was staying, he said, we don't have a building. We meet in a hotel. I hope you don't mind preaching in the ballroom. And I said, okay. When we got to the hotel, two remarkable things happened. The first, he looked across the street at a man with white hair who was going into church. And he said, that's strange. That's a professor of philosophy from the local university, and he's a well-known atheist. He even debates for atheism. It's strange to see him going in. The second thing that happened, he said, you know, the hotel's really good to us. They give us the boiler room. I want to show you the boiler room. And as we walked across the street, he said, aren't you inquisitive about the boiler room? And I said, I heard about a boiler room once. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had one. Yeah. He said, you know, you might know about the boiler room. We went into the hotel and we went to a room. It was a hotel room where you would stay, but it was converted. It was completely cleared out, and it was full of benches and seats, and it was full of people, and they were praying. And he said, John, this morning you're going to speak to over 2,000 people in the two services, and I wanted you to see this before you get up to say a word. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this room has people praying in it. And ever since we as a church started to do that, we have never had a Sunday where we have not seen a number of people come to faith in Christ. And friends, there it is. There's the connection. As we pray, so we see the hand of God and the power of God. He wants to use you. And as you give yourself to Him and give yourself to prayer, you might say, well, I can't pray for 5 minutes. That's okay. You just begin with what you have, and God will give you more. I had a colleague one day in a prayer meeting with Billy Graham who said to me, John, do you realize you prayed for 22 minutes? And I said, oops, sorry. Prayer. We only have one life. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all the earth, looking for one. Would you be that one today? Could we collectively, together, be that one, that place? Oh, when God's people get together and pray. There's a Monday night prayer meeting. There's a Wednesday morning prayer meeting. All friends, prayer and the power and the effectiveness are all connected. Elijah prayed earnestly. We need to do the same. And let's not get discouraged and give up. And let's not run away from the issues of our life and world and family and all the rest. Let's bring it to God. And as often as we can together, let's bring it to God and let Him change it. Father, Your word says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, Spirit of the living God, would You do Your work in our hearts, in my heart, and would You touch us afresh and anew this morning? In Jesus' name, Pastor Corey comes to lead us in a song.